Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Fun hour coming up. My cohorts that like and respect so much from the Blue White Tailgate TV show, which is seen across the state. It's seen in State College, Altoona, Johnstown. It's seen in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, York, Harrisburg, and Philadelphia. Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer. Trey will be here in the Sunbury Motors studio, and Todd on the phone. First, the play-by-play call of the day.
No challenge flag. Snap is back. Quarterback draw. Walk the dog. Prescott up the middle. Touchdown, Cowboys. Now that's a nice call.
Brad Sham with a call on the Cowboys radio network as the Cowboys now are one victory away from clinching the NFC East. They beat Tampa Bay last night 26-20. All right, Trey Bauer with us here in the Sunbury Motors studio, and we welcome in Todd Sadowski on the phone. Todd, always great to hear you on the other end, my friend.
Mr. Jones, how are you, sir? Yes, I couldn't agree more. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's the one day of the year we get together at the end of the season and just chat on the radio. So once again, thanks for the invite. Can't wait for it.
Oh, no, terrific. And the guy that actually, of all the people in media, speaks for many because he has the ability, for whatever reason, to say what everybody else is really thinking, Trey Bauer.
Hi, Steve. Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me. I do have to say one thing. I think if everyone is, you know, want to know what I have to say, I'm sitting here in this little studio with Steve Jones, and I have a Barack Obama, I don't know, whatever kind of face looking at me, and I'm just a little disgusted by the whole thing. But
hold on.
There we go. Look at the back of his head.
Look at the back of his head, which is a chia pet. Barack Obama. I don't know what it's a doll or it's just disgusting.
Buyers got that.
So
there we go. We have actually a lot of things to talk about, and then we'll eventually get to Penn State football. All right, because there's so many items here that are on the list. Let me start with this. The Joe Mixon tape came out. And the Joe Mixon tape showing him fist punching a woman in a bar from 2-3 years ago. And her going back, hitting her head, blood on the floor.
She deserved it, Steve. Come on.
Oh, yeah, right.
She's much bigger than him, and, you know, he had it coming to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Show's off to a smooth start.
Punk. Yeah. He's a punk, yeah. punk.
He gets suspended for a year,
yep,
which is a redshirt year for him.
Sure.
Should he have been allowed to stay at Oklahoma?
I guess if they use the same rules that they use for all the other convicts they have in that school, if he's allowed to be there, that's fine. If not, then he should have gotten, you know what, canned. Right, Todd?
Oh, my God. He is out of the gates quick,
yeah.
Steve.
Oh, he's out of the gate. Believe me, the word unbridled comes to mind.
Well, and you know, you bring up this topic, and it's funny. I actually talked about this with an Oklahoma grad yesterday, someone that works at our station. But, you know, how many times, why do we need to see the video to understand how just awful this is, what domestic abuse is? Why do you need to see it to really be outraged by it? You know, there are certain instances where, you know, authority figures talk with someone that's done this, and they're not really clear on the details, on just how awful it was or what it entailed. This is not the case in the Joe Mixon situation. These administrators, everyone knew exactly what happened, knew the result, knew there were broken bones involved, and yet only 1 year. I mean, it should be gone immediately. Immediately. Now, I believe wholeheartedly in second chances, okay? And there's a guy, DeAndre Johnson, that Lane Kiffin just brought in as his first order of business at Florida Atlantic. But DeAndre Johnson has went through programs. He has talked about leading domestic violence, abuse, you know, discussions on campus and being a campus leader when it comes to that type of stuff. He's in that second chance mode, and I hope to goodness that he follows through with that, okay? But not Joe Mixon. This is ridiculous. A red shirt, what basically amounts to a red shirt year, and then now the video's out and everyone's outraged. Why does it take for the video? It's just like the Ray Rice situation. We know what this is. Why does it take the video for people to really react as strongly as they should to begin with?
I completely agree with that. I know with Ray Rice, what I had said with Ray Rice before I ever saw the video, was he should be suspended for minimum half the season or whatever takes you into November. In other words, takes you out of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I think if they had done that instead of two games, it might have saved his career. But, again, what he did and what Mixon should never have put on a uniform at Oklahoma. If somebody else wants to give him a second chance once he goes through protocols, as you talked about, yeah. But he's in my football program, he's done.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I guess... You know, in this, I'm so politically correct, as you all know, but I think that, you know, for them that they have certain, I mean, was it on campus? Was it off campus? Was it, if he was a regular Oklahoma student, what would happen to this kid? Would he be suspended for a year from school? I don't know. I would think it would be an honor to, not necessarily an honor for them, but an honor to wear your school's uniform.
Yeah.
And regardless, you know, Bob Stoops probably should have stepped in and said, "Well, thanks, but no thanks," and you know, just cut it clean, and that was the end of that. After seeing that video, it's like ridiculous. He's still on the team.
But Todd's right, though. Without seeing the video, still should have told him, "Okay, we're done here.
Yeah.
Find someplace else. Put yourself in some programs, and find someplace else. I mean, because you're going to have to go through plenty of programs because of how you reacted in that situation. I mean, it's no way he should have stayed at Oklahoma. Not a one-year suspension. There's no way he should have stayed. They should have looked at him and said, "Hey, you're done."
Yeah, well, so Todd, so I'd like to get your thought on this. So that's at the collegiate level. So what about Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh? All the stuff that he's done. You know, the fact is he's still there, and why wouldn't the Rooney family get rid of him?
Well, I mean, they're talking about the pros. You've got an entire union, and you've got a collective bargaining agreement you have to go through, and he's got to be, you know, you can bring up Ben's name, and there's a lot of conjecture and a lot of things around him, but I don't know of any documented, you know, plea deals, plea bargains, or, you know, he was not, from what I understand, he wasn't convicted of anything. I mean, he might have been initially charged, interviewed, whatever the situations were. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a situation, Trey, where the details are not in dispute. They're just not in dispute. And if you say, okay, well, compare it to a regular student, all right, well, if it's a year's suspension or whatever it may be, take them off scholarship at the very least. I mean, football, as you know, Trey, is not just a given. I mean, that's an extracurricular activity that you earn, right?
Yeah.
It's a privilege to do it. And when you conduct yourself in that kind of manner, I mean, that's, you know, why would, what is, I mean, I just don't get why you want to keep that around your program. If you believe in the young man, that's a completely different issue. You know what I'm saying? If you believe in giving him a second chance, whatever, and he shows contrition and there's a process, you know, and he wants to stay in school and be a regular student, follow that process, but not football. You know, he's lost that right as soon as he committed that act. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I believe in second chances, but not right away like that.
And not second chances there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think there's got to be a code of conduct as to how any person acts, then a code of conduct as well as how an Oklahoma football player is expected to act.
Yeah.
Well.
And you know, guys, Bob Stoops' job is not on the line with one kid.
Of
you know what I mean?
Not.
You talk about 85 scholarship players. And Oklahoma being the premier program in the Big 12 for the last couple of decades. I mean, you know, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
To me, that there are certain things that cannot be tolerated. Obviously, racism is one. Laying an inappropriate hand on a woman is another one. Can't be tolerated. To me, those are lines in line. That's a line in the sand every time.
Yeah, you know, I saw a couple of things about that, and there's some conjecture of, you know, did she call him a certain word or did she whatever? And it's like, to me, it's like, you know, words don't hurt anybody.
Walk away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Yeah, I think it's just a bad situation all the way around. They should have gotten rid of him, and they didn't do it, and now they have to answer all these questions. So it's on them.
Todd, now I'm going to bring up the next one. We're going to let Trey start with this one.
Mm-hmm. Tough act to follow, I'm sure it'll be, but go ahead.
Oh, I don't mean to put you in that spot, but I feel that you should be as entertained as anybody. Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey both will not play in their bowl games because they want to, quote, get ready for the draft.
Yeah. Okay, you know what?
It's teed up, Trey.
I
feel like we're all back right now,
Todd,
at the golf course.
I just don't understand it. I really don't. So let me get this straight. So you guys were high school football players. Obviously, one went to a really good school. One went to a really crappy school. You've been in school for 3 years. They've given you every opportunity for you to do your thing. And then, what, you just bail on your entire team, all your teammates and your coaches and everything else because you're getting ready for the pros? I mean, I really don't understand it. I mean, for them to say, well, you know, they don't want to be hurt or whatever. I mean, again, I hate to say, like, oh, you know, when I played or whatever. But we had guys with, like, broken arms. We had guys that were playing because they loved the game and they didn't want to disappoint their teammates or their coaches or certainly the, you know, the fans and the other students. But, you know, for them to just to kind of mail it in, I don't know. I just don't get it.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we all saw it coming, right? I mean, this isn't a trend that we didn't see coming. I mean, we've had documented instances with guys getting hurt in bowl games and it costing them draft status, that type of deal. Look, running backs especially, I could see it coming. Now, I don't agree with it. I mean, obviously, it's an individual choice. Understood a little bit more with Leonard Fournette, who's got a history of injuries going through college, and you know there's limited tread on those tires for running backs. But guys, I thought there was an organization, and I thought there was a company called Lloyd's of London. Insure your legs, insure your knees. Get your agent to be, and I don't know. I guess they can't sign with one, but we all know how they do the end around with that process. You know. Put in a little bit of a deposit on the insurance if you want to play in the game with your teammates and finish out your career. If you are first-round draft status, millions of dollars waiting, it's happened in baseball. It's happened in all kinds of sports. Insure your knees. Insure whatever body parts you want so that you can finish out your career with your teammates and your college career the way that you want to finish it out. There's plenty of time to train. They've pushed the draft back to May. I mean, it's not going to hurt you. So it's a disturbing trend. You know, look, there's a lot of money involved, and you guys know things change quickly when there's a lot of money put in front of you. Well, I don't certainly know that. You guys may know that.
Fox,
but my point is, you know, we saw this coming. That's what insurance is for, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I don't have the particulars of it though, Todd. But I will say to you, it's a very you know, one of the richest guys in the world is a guy named Warren Buffett. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he made his fortune in insurance because it's like people paying premiums and then never having to literally pay out.
Right? Yeah.
It's very, very difficult, and the scope of those insurance policies are such that unless they are absolutely not playing or it's a career-ending injury, what if you hurt your knee, hurt your ankle, hurt whatever, and you're slowed down? You can play, but you can't run a 4.4 anymore. You can run a 4.6. Then all of a sudden, you're not a first rounder, you're a fourth rounder. Then it gets you're splitting hairs. I guess the bottom line is that, you know, they should honor the commitment and they should go, you know, all the way through all the bowl games.
They should honor their commitment because they made a commitment.
Yes.
Play. All right. You look at an entire locker room, right? All those offensive linemen who gave themselves up to make plays to help the team and to help you out. And there's a couple of elements to it. This would be, to me, it's a different profession, and obviously I'm of a different age, but that would be the equivalent of me saying, you know what, I don't think I'll do the Northwestern game next week because I don't want to have a sore throat for the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cut me a break.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean, I wouldn't even dream of doing that.
Yeah.
This is not my generation. My generation would never think and dream about, you know, how did Blair Thomas get hurt? Blair Thomas got hurt practicing.
Yes.
Okay, in a non-contact practice.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we bubble wrapping everybody now?
Yeah. No, I
mean, let's bubble wrap everybody. It's a business decision. Well, guess what? You made it the business decision to go to Stanford Yep. He made a business decision to go at LSU. Your games aren't over yet.
So from a pragmatist standpoint, guys, what's the solution? Do you draw it up into your scholarship that if you're healthy enough to play, you must suit up? You know, there's people on the other side, and I'm just playing devil's advocate from the standpoint, because I agree with you guys. They make a commitment. They sign a scholarship. I'm a contractual employee to the TV station that I work at. I honor the contract under the stipulations of the contract that I signed.
It's not what they told us, but go ahead.
Well, trust me, they know when it expires. They can get rid of me the very next day.
Right.
But you know, so the point being, you know, what is in the scholarship agreement? And then the other part of it is the other side will say, well, they're not getting paid, you know, to do this, and the university's making millions of dollars on these guys, and so you know the argument. So of course it's not simplistic. It's the right call in my view to say honor your commitment and finish it out. Obviously, that's not what's happening, though.
Well,
so how do you address that?
But here is where the coach is between a rock and a hard place.
Yep.
The coach is in an absolute rock, hard place situation, because if he decides to be tough about it and play, well, who's the bad guy, especially if he gets hurt?
Sure.
All right? And you want to be able to look at future recruits and say, yeah, you see how I handled McCaffrey and how I handled Fournette? You know, I kind of let him just do, you know. And see, it's a rock and a hard place thing, even though I know, to me personally, it goes against every fiber in me.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, you're talking about, you know, a different generation. But to me, you should honor what you say. You know, do as you say and say as you do, you know. And you know, it's kind of like similar to what you see, you know, now it's the college recruiting football season. And, you know, you got all these guys who are committing, decommitting. I just don't even understand that, Todd. Okay, so you look a guy in the eye and say, okay, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come to your program. Unless that guy is not coaching that program anymore and he's got fired or whatever, how do you go back to the person and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to go to, you know, whatever.
Right.
I'm not gonna commit to you. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just form, to say the least.
There's a complete power shift, and the players have, you know, are starting to realize it. I have a feeling Steve's probably going down this road with maybe the next topic, but the players are starting to understand, hey, wait a second, we can kind of shift a little bit of this power arrangement and see where things are going. And you mentioned coaches potentially leaving. You know, guys are committing, and they're reading the tea leaves when they make their call early. And, you know, the coaches are on them to commit earlier and earlier. So, you know, you got kids that freshman, sophomore year of high school, you know, they're making commitments to schools. And, you know, you'll hear Coach Franklin talk about it. Look, I don't want your commitment unless you are truly committed. And, you know, for 14, 15, 16-year-old kids, you know, those phone calls aren't stopping from the other coaches, you know, when they're making verbal commitments until that name's on the piece of paper. You know, they're getting influenced all kinds of ways.
Which then brings us to the topic I think Todd expects me to go to next, and that is the Minnesota situation.
They will play
in the Holiday Bowl. The players tried their, for the lack of a better word, power play on the administration. Now they're going to play in the game. Now, none of us have any of the particulars. This is completely opinions from the outside looking in, you know, because obviously September 2nd happened. We don't know all the details. We don't know what videos everybody has. Supposedly now a new video's come out that the administration there has, which has bolstered their argument, whatever. Your thoughts on the players trying to take matters into their own hands and boycotting?
Well, I'll take this one first. It seems like the Big Ten setting the tone with this, right? Went from Northwestern and you know, with the union situation in Minnesota. So we got some, you know, it's some good academic universities, and these kids are, you know, they're starting to figure out, wait a second, we can really try and influence this stuff. In the Minnesota situation, you know, look, I've been in, you guys know me, you've known me for years now. I'm the kind of person, just shoot me straight, and I'm going to shoot you straight. And I think what irritated the players involved in all this is that administration comes to them and gives them a bunch of
double talk.
Malarkey and BS. And, you know, so I admire the kids stepping up and saying, look, shoot us straight. You know, we are we're a team. We're a brotherhood of 80, 90, 100 guys, however many. You know, that's what the coaches say all the time, you know, right? Family, stick together. And then you come in and you take 10 of the members of our football family And then you don't really give us much of an explanation why, and then we're being told by our members of our football family that this is unjust. You know, we'd like some answers. You know, they tried it. I guess they got enough of what they needed to hear to say, no, we're not boycotting the whole experience to go to the bowl game. And, you know, it's still kind of to be determined as far as what kind of information they get, because there's another meeting scheduled or whatever. But right. It's nice to see the team and the kids, you know, moving forward with that bowl experience, because you don't want everybody to miss out on that. But, again, it's a message to say to administration, look, you tell us one thing on one side of it, you know, but you're speaking out of the other side of your mouth. We can handle the truth if you hit us with...
You can't handle the truth, Tom.
Yeah, there you go. If you can
you
hit
want
us with
the
as
truth,
much of
you
it
can't
as you
handle
can.
The truth.
I think that's the key there. I think when they sat down with the administration, you sense that they were not treated with a lot of respect. In other words, this is what, you know, the double talk, you know, talking out of both sides of your mouth. And you sense they kind of looked around and go, okay, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Well, maybe they got a better explanation in the next meeting. I don't know, because obviously they're going to play in the game. But, you know, it's okay in a private meeting to be straight with somebody and say, look, this is what we know and this is why we did it.
Yeah.
So that's where that stands. We're going to come back. Todd, Trey, and I are going to discuss Penn State football and the game with USC. In the next half hour, we'll take a break. News bottom of the hour. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have serve this valley for decades because they find the best insurance at the right price for their customers. You know, choosing your insurance agent is really one of the more important decisions that you make, because this is your backup plan in life. Something happens to the car, backup plan. Something happens to the house, backup plan. Business, life, whatever. Okay? Your insurance is your backup plan financially. You need to have a great insurance agent, one that's going to find you the right insurance, going to find the best price. They'll go across state lines to get it. And if there's a claim, they jump right in as if it happened to them. It is, again, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. By the way, from us to the Purdy family and their employees, happy holidays. They are a great group to be with. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports bozos of the day, the administration at Oklahoma. I don't see how, in all consciousness, you could suspend Joe Mixon for a year, which is essentially a redshirt year. Now that we've all seen that video, what were you or not thinking? What were you or were you not thinking at the time you made that decision? I mean, it's unconscionable. I mean, that is an unconscionable decision by Oklahoma. They should have looked at him and said, you are not going to play a down of football here ever. If somebody else wants to give you a second chance, so be it. But it's not going to happen at Oklahoma. You have to have standards. Okay, let's get back to it now. Penn State football, USC, Rose Bowl, bring back in Todd Sadowski on the phone here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Trey Bauer, guys, one thing about Penn State, you know, under the radar in the preseason, no doubt under the radar at the end of September, And I think because of that, a lot of people just don't know enough about Penn State at this stage.
Yeah. They still are, by the way. They're still caught off guard about it.
I agree with that.
They still don't believe in them.
I agree that they're still caught off guard by them. I know I've had a lot of people ask me why more players didn't get individual recognition. I don't know if that matters, but still they get asked about it. I think part of it is, Todd, Trey, I don't think people know enough about this team yet.
I think that's fair. I mean, you know, so for the three of us, and Steve, who's been following football since, I'm not even going to say how long. But
no face mask.
No face mask, other helmets, you know, whatever. But, you know, to think that after last year and everything that's happened over the last few years, to have as young a team as we have, to start 2-2, and then to say, okay, they're going to win 9 games and win the Big Ten championship. I mean, literally, they would have put you in a straitjacket and sent you off. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone realized that that they were going to be as good as they are. The thing that's most important, it doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what the national media thinks, it's what those kids think in the locker room and themselves, and that's, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Agreed. I mean, who cares if the national media or whoever nationally believes in them or not? They made it to the Rose Bowl. They're playing in the game. So, you know, it is a matter of what they believe in. And it's really such an interesting matchup because, you know, look, I know you can't throw away September. That's what makes the college football season unique. But, you know, a lot of sports, you're just, especially in college and high school, you know, you're rotating kids in as they get a little older and a little bit of experience. You don't know what that year's team is going to be like, at least for three, four games, because you don't know who needs, let's say in hoops, Steve, you know, you don't know who needs to score.
Right.
Some guy may be looking at the guy and I thought he was going to score 18 a game. No, I actually need to take 10 shots a game. You're figuring that stuff out. So you throw away September, these two teams are in the national semifinals. I mean, they're two of the top four teams in the country after September. Neither one's lost. They're on a long winning streak, and you know, USC disposed of Washington in Washington, who won the Pac-12 championship. So you would assume they probably would have went on to win the Pac-12.
Well, you know what's interesting, though, about this is that I've talked about how a lot of people didn't know much about them because they were so far under the radar in August and under the radar in September. You know, but yet USC, which has run off 8 straight wins, everybody in the national media seems to know about them.
Yeah.
I mean, and they started out 1-3.
Well, Los Angeles isn't State College, Steve, last I checked. But
yeah. No?
No. Not
big,
so much.
Bigger, smaller?
Not so much.
Well, and not only do they know about them, they're visibly annoyed that they're not getting higher recognition, that they're at 9.
Well, that's just
like almost
California
like dismissing 3 losses. I mean, they just are dismissing those 3 losses, including, and what held Penn State out of the Final Four, guys? The blowout loss to Michigan, right?
Right.
Hello? 52-6 is, I mean, that's considered a blowout, right?
That's
I mean,
a big number against Alabama. Yeah.
Holy cow!
Yeah. Now, obviously, they change quarterbacks, and Darnold comes in. And look, Darnold's good. Darnold knows how to play. I mean, there's just no getting around it. He knows how to play. You watch him for a true freshman. Now, they don't have him do what I would say a lot of adventurous things in the tapes I watch.
Well, I think that they have enough weapons where, you know, they've got a quality running back. Their backup running back is a good kid. The receivers are very solid across the board. So, you know, he doesn't really have to do too much in the fact that he's got a lot of weapons at his disposal.
He does. And defensively, nose tackle's really good. Porter Gustin, 45, the outside linebacker, really good. And Adoree Jackson, there's a reason why he won the Thorpe Award, although when we had a reporter on from the L.A. Times, he said, you know, what's interesting is that we feel the last 3 games he didn't play that great.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that struck me. That was the most interesting answer of the entire thing. So actually, he got beat a few times the last 3 games.
Yeah. Well, I think what happens is that the media, and I think there are a lot of people that are guilty of it, they just kind of build the kids up to a point where it just gets to be too much. I mean, you would have thought that Jabril Peppers was a combination of, like, you know, Gandhi and, you know, who else, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a kid's like a 20-year-old sophomore football player from Michigan who happened to grow up in New Jersey.
Excuse me, did Gandhi return punts? I just want to ask you.
I don't know if Gandhi returned punts or not, but he was involved in something. But,
that's great.
I mean, straight me out. Did Gandhi return punts?
If he wanted to, he could have.
I think he could have.
That's a good answer, Todd.
He was sneaky, elusive,
yes.
Steve. I think so. But, you know, the other part of it is, look, we've talked about this all the time, and you can look at USC's schedule, and we talk about Wisconsin right before that game, and said, oh, the statistics show this and that, but you know, Steve, as you pointed out, they really hadn't played anybody that could throw the ball, and you know, they Penn State exposed their secondary in that game. You know, USC's schedule the last three games, if Jackson's not playing, well, they played Washington, UCLA, who's typical, you know, they can throw the ball pretty decent, and Notre Dame, who offensively, if they have their act together, they have some ability to move the ball. So it's not completely surprising that he struggled a little bit in the last three games. But, you know, it's a really interesting matchup from the standpoint of the schedule, too. You can't really, you know, everybody, USC, right? I look at it, who did they beat? I mean, do people still believe in Washington? They really took care of them pretty easily. Other than that, they had Colorado at home in early October, and they lost to Utah, Stanford, and Alabama, the only other three teams that were ranked at the time that they played them, and both Stanford and Utah proved to not really even be as good as they were ranked. So,
well, I mean, my opinion is this. USC is really, really good right now. And that's because I think the Darnold kid's taken them from being good to really, really good. I mean, having him, that presence has meant everything. I think what's discounted far too often is that I don't think people realize how good Penn State is. Like, Penn State's playing a really good USC team. Guess what? USC's playing a really good Penn State team.
Correct.
I mean, and I think that's never taken into account. I mean, everybody, not everybody, a lot of people act like, oh, look at them. You look at how they play. What about the team that's won 9 in a row?
Yeah.
About how they played?
Well, you know, we talked about the quarterback shift was physical for USC, right? They actually changed kids. Well, after the Michigan game, it was the same person, but it really wasn't the same quarterback when you talk about Trace McSorley.
Yeah.
You know, they said, Trace, in order for this offense to run, you're going to have to run the ball. You need to use your legs after the Michigan game. And what's happened since then?
Yeah. No, exactly. Here's an interesting question for Trey. We see now, obviously, when you played, the 12th game was the Fiesta Bowl game against Miami. The year before, the 12th game was your national championship game against Oklahoma. Right.
Correct.
So that's the limit. Penn State has now played a 13th game, and this will be the first time in school history they've played 14. After you had played Miami, and I'm thinking about the final four teams, Washington, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. Could you have played another game after playing the Miami game? If that were a semifinal, could you have played another one like 8-9 days later?
Well, I mean, it's not a matter of could you. If you had to, you would.
Right, correct. I understand that. Right. But I'm talking like the mental, physical, everything you went through and your emotions after that game.
Well, I think it's difficult to say at this point because, you know, at that point in time with two independents playing for the national championship, it was a single elimination.
Right.
You had one game, it was the Super Bowl for college football.
Right.
In this situation, it's a little bit different where you have to win two, you know, to kind of finish it out.
Right.
You know, your preparation's going to be different. You're going to have, you know, how Nick Saban is preparing for his, you know, potential two-game stretch is different than James Franklin.
Right.
So, I mean, would you be able to play? Of course you would. Would it be, you know, all in? Would we have thrown in all those defenses? Would we have, I mean, the whole preparation would be different.
Right. I mean, I just won because, I mean, that game was a physical game. And, I mean, how emotionally drained were you when you were done with that?
Well, I mean, emotionally, I don't think I was as drained as I was physically. I mean,
okay.
It was, you know, we had played a lot of plays. I think they had I was in for 100 plays. I think, you know, physically, you were really, you were gassed.
Right.
But, I mean, we hated those guys so much. I mean, they're the biggest bunch of jackasses. So, I mean, if we had to go out and play on the next day in the parking lot, you know, have at it. So I think we would have figured out a way to kind of get it done.
And there you tapped into the fuel system, Steve, right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
But your point's well taken about, like, you know, the college football part of it. And I guess that's why you got to have 8 or 9 days after the semifinals is, you know, are we looking at a Thursday night football, you know what I mean, situation
right.
with the NFL after you play on a Sunday and your body doesn't have time to physically heal for such another big, big matchup, you know, coming up.
I mean, obviously, you look at the coaches that have won, they've been able to take teams from one gigantic game to the next gigantic game. I guess the stretch run that Penn State had in 86 where it was, you know, Notre Dame and Pitt and so forth, that probably is like the same kind of playoff concept. You had to win those games anyway to get to the final.
Exactly. And the other thing is, again, is that you're
you know, you're approaching it where it's a two-game playoff versus a one-game playoff. So how Saban is going to prepare, or Urban Meyer, is going to be much different than Franklin or Helton, just because they know it's only
one game.
They play one game.
Yeah, right.
One game, that's it.
Interesting. College football playoff, who survives the opening weekend, and then who wins the whole thing? Ty, we'll start with you, because we'll wait for the colorful explanation.
I don't see anybody beating Alabama. You know, I don't think Ohio State's as good as they were a couple years ago when they won it. You know, they had a lot more experience on that team, and they're pretty young. You know, and boy, they've really struggled, haven't they? JT Barrett throwing downfield. I just think that's something you have to do against Alabama if they get past Clemson. I think Clemson's going to be hungry to get another shot at Alabama, so I'll take Clemson and Alabama, but I think Bama just controls it and wins.
Now the colorful explanation.
If I had to guess, I don't think Clemson thinks they can beat Ohio State. It's like kind of like the little stepbrother, redheaded stepchild. You know, until they've been in there time and time again, I think Ohio State's going to have their number. I think Alabama rolls Washington. I think that I would not be surprised if Alabama just takes Ohio State to the woodshed and does what they did to Notre Dame a few years ago.
You know what is interesting to me about Alabama is I think the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, is good, not great.
Yep.
And I would not look at him and say, you know what, he's the swing factor, he'll win it for us. I think of the four quarterbacks in the playoff, he's the weakest of the four.
Well, you're talking about some really good quarterbacks, too. You're talking about one of the great
Watson,
Ohio
Browning.
Yeah.
Now, Barrett's not a great thrower,
but
they don't have great receivers. I mean, Ohio State does not have great receivers.
No, they don't.
And I think that was a big issue going into the Penn State game. When we talked about that game, that was one of the issues I brought up. I said, look, their wideouts aren't that great.
Their wideouts wouldn't be playing for us.
I would take Hurts over Browning.
Okay.
I think that's
an interesting point, Todd. I would take
Hurts over Browning, and that's not. I mean, that's just maybe I haven't. You know, I mean, I haven't seen as much Alabama as I would maybe in a typical year because you just kind of know the result.
Yeah.
It really hasn't been very interesting to watch him. But so it's easy. I don't say to dismiss what he's done, but you know, the guys. You know, he's done an amazing job just stepping in as a freshman to take the reins of something so powerful. You know, I mean, he's being basically told, "Here's the keys to the Ferrari. Don't wreck it." You know, and that's, you know, that can be a lot of pressure on a young kid. And yet, what he's done is he's taken it into the highest gear it can be taken into, offensively at times. You know, the other part of it is it's. Man, it's hard. This is what makes it great, right? What we're doing, it's subjective. How good is the SEC? You know, I mean, they beat a USC team earlier in the year that obviously didn't have the right quarterback and the right formula going. So, I don't know. I don't know what to expect from Alabama from a standpoint of they haven't necessarily played the same kind of hard schedule that they have in the past because nobody stepped up to really give them that tough game except LSU, who is obviously talented but offensively challenged.
Yeah, and defensively, Alabama is, I think it's safe to say, they're great defensively.
Yes.
They're not good. They're great.
Yep.
I think Ohio State will beat Clemson, my opinion, and then Alabama will beat Ohio State. But the team that has the best shot at beating them is actually Clemson because of Watson.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. A good quarterback and a career night is what it's going to take them out.
Guys, absolute pleasure. Enjoy it. We'll see, and we're going to tape the next show coming up on Wednesday. Todd Sadowski joining us down from York here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Trey Bauer, guys, thanks so much. Make sure you're on time on Wednesday, by the way. Help the cause if you were. I got a basketball game that day, too. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
happy holidays from everyone at Penn's Tavern. It's time for gathering friends and family, and Penn's Tavern wants you to make them your setting for your holiday party. Historic Penn's Tavern, recently voted as the Daily Item's 2016 Reader's Choice for Best Tavern, is waiting for you. Penn's Tavern has an ambiance that cannot be duplicated. The Sarah Room is the original structure of the tavern. Built circa 1700s, the Sarah Room has original stone walls and wooden floors for an unmatched old-world feel. The Wixted Room, overlooking the Susquehanna River, attaches to a more modern River Room pub. The River Room has 12 local microbreweries on tap. And just in time for the holidays, choose Penn's Tavern gift certificates for the perfect stocking stuffer. Purchase 5 gift certificates in the same amount and receive a gift certificate of the same value at no charge. Call to reserve your date and time for a memorable holiday gathering at 570-286-2007 or go to PennsTavern.com. Wishing you all the best, not only during the holidays, but the whole year through. From everyone at Penn's Tavern.
Great to have you with us. Hope you had a lot of fun today. I know I did, having Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer on the show. Don't have them on often enough, to be honest with you. Really, really like working with them. Not just a little, but a lot. A lot of respect for both those guys. And tomorrow, Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell, on. And Bob Soci, who is the play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots, is going to be on the show tomorrow. It's be great to have Bob on. Bob's been on the show with us before, in two different capacities. He's been on the show before as the play-by-play voice of Navy, and he's been on the show before as the voice of the Patriots. So we've had Bob on a few times before. And talk about all things about the Patriots. Whether they are the best team or not, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. This is such a wild year. Dallas is playing well. The Giants, who have the Eagles next, we have Matt Lee on in the 3:30 half hour. We have a lot in the podcast again today. Podcast getting loaded up left and right. They've got the Eagles on Thursday, the Giants do. The Giants are now playing not completely mistake-free football, but they are playing really, really well.
I think you'd be hard pressed to find a better defensive coordinator right now than Steve Spagnuolo in the league, in the entire league.
Well, he's done a great job with them, and defensively they're getting more pressure. As we had Kim Jones from NFL Network on last week, and Kim was talking about you know Olivier Vernon, how he's come on. Janoris Jenkins has been big in the secondary. DRC, Dominic Rogers, Cromartie. Landon Collins is really good. And the Giants, and then they added in Eli Apple. The Giants transformed their secondary. And that's a key to this. And getting Olivier Vernon off the edge, critical as well. That's really changed the look. And Eli Manning is not having a great year. Hey, let's be honest about it. Eli Manning is not having a great year. But he's having good enough of a year to make the Giants effective. The Giants finally got Jordan Pugh back in the offensive line. That's big, because now it actually has a chance to make Eli Manning better. But the Cowboys are playing great. The Redskins are playing better down the stretch. The Lions have played really well. The Patriots and the Raiders are playing well. And the Steelers might be the biggest threat of all. So tomorrow, Bob Soci, the play-by-play voice of the Patriots, and Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell, join us on the show. Looking forward to it. Today's show has been brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm Steve Jones for Sean Carey on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Santa's coming up in an hour.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.